If you'd like to turn with us in your Bible to the portion of Scripture that we read together from the book of Acts into chapter 16. And I'd like to draw your attention this evening in particular to the verse 14 of the chapter. This portion of Scripture which relates to us, the conversion of Lydia. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And with God's word open before us, and just let us come again before the throne of grace. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank the Lord for the portion of Scripture that we've read together this evening concerning the salvation of Lydia. And O Heavenly Father, we pray that there will be those whose hearts, Lord, that Thou wilt open in this meeting tonight. And to this end we pray that Thou wilt grant the help of Thy Holy Spirit. Continue with us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In the Acts chapter 16, we have the dawning of the Christian church in the continent of Europe. The Apostle Paul had the desire to preach the gospel in Asia, but he was forbidden by the Holy Ghost. And we know that whenever the Lord closes one door, He opens another. I wonder, have you ever stopped to think what it would have been the result if that day the Apostle Paul was directed to go in the other direction? He was directed to go and to preach in the East. I wonder, would we be here tonight sitting under the sound of the gospel? But the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul in the other direction, toward the West and to the continent of Europe. And here the Lord appears to Paul in a vision in the night season. And we read that there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And immediately the Apostle Paul made preparation to go and to preach the gospel where it had not been preached before in the continent of Europe. And immediately, whenever Paul received his vision from the Lord, and whenever this was relayed to those who were around him, immediately the whole party resolved to go, because they knew that it was a call of God and it must be complied with. If you look at the verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia." And so, having heard the message or the call of God, the Apostle Paul immediately puts plans in place to go to this place where the Lord would have him bring the message of the gospel. And here in his providence, the Lord leads the Apostle Paul to come or to go to the city of Philippi. This was a major city in the area. The city was called after Philip, king of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great. This city was a city that was a Roman garrison. It was a center of administration. It was a major city in the area. And in this city, there were those of the Jewish faith. We do not know how many there were of those who were of the Jewish faith. There may have been only a few. We are not sure. We do not read of there being a synagogue in the city. And it was usual if there was maybe in the region of 10 families or 10 menfolk that they would gather themselves together and there would be a synagogue found in the city. But we do not read of there being a synagogue. And we're not sure whether this was because that there was laws prohibiting the building of a synagogue, or whether it was because there was only there were few in number, and therefore a synagogue could not be built. But you know, whenever there was only a few people of the Jewish faith, whenever there was no synagogue, the people would have made arrangements among themselves to meet for worship. And here we find that there was these few womenfolk, And they sought out a quiet place along the river. And there they met around the Word of God and for prayer. And here on the Sabbath day, the Apostle Paul, having sought the guidance of the Lord and been guided to the city of Philippi, he is further guided by the Lord because he makes his way here to this place along the river where these ladies are meeting for prayer. And it is here in the providence of God that Lydia is found, and the Apostle Paul earnestly presents to her, presents to those who are gathered, the message of the gospel. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I would like for us tonight, for a short time, to consider the salvation of Lydia. There are three things I would like to draw your attention to. And first of all, we have the circumstances of her life. It is related to her here that her name was Lydia. And it is an honour to her that her name is recorded in the scriptures. We have her name inscribed here in the word of God. And tonight the whole world is able to read the account here of Lydia. And we know that the Lord knows the names of his people. I have to confess that I know the names of very few in the meeting here this evening. But be rest assured that the Lord knows your name. And the Lord knows all the details pertaining to your life and everything that relates to you. The Lord is one who knows all things. And just as the Lord knew Lydia's name and all that pertained to her, so it is with each one in the service tonight. The Lord knows all your trials and all your troubles. The Lord knows whether you be in Christ or out of Christ. And rest assured, as the Lord draws near tonight, He knows your name. And here Lydia's name is recorded in the scripture. Now we know this evening that we cannot have our names here included in the scriptures like Lydia. But we know that whenever our hearts are open to the gospel, and whenever we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that our names, that we can be rest assured that our names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Does not the Lord tell us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, "Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And tonight, those who are in Christ, our names are written in heaven. They're inscribed in the Master's hand. They're recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh yes, as Lydia, her name was Lydia. But then also concerning Lydia, we realize that here was a woman who was successful in business. Here was a woman who was in business almost 2,000 years ago. We're told here that she was a seller of purple. That is, she may have been a seller of the dye that is extracted from a particular type of shellfish. This is a dye that included many shades and tints from rose red to sea green. She may have been a seller of the particular type of dye, but it is more likely that she sold the garments that were made and dyed with this particular dye. The official garments of Roman officials, the toga, was such a garment. And Lydia, here we read that she was a seller of purple. She was a lady who did well in her business. She was a woman of means. Her household was large enough to accommodate Paul and his missionary party. In her household she had a number of servants. She was a woman who we believe was prosperous in business, even though it was some 2,000 years ago. But then also we realize here that it is recorded that Lydia, she was not born in Philippi, but rather it is recorded that she was born in the city of Thyatira, which is a city in Asia. We do not know how she came to Philippi. Maybe it was because of her business. We know, like as today, there people, they see opportunities and other parts of the country or in other parts of the world to go in and to engage in business. We don't know whether maybe she moved because she married someone from that area. We just do not know. But we are told that she was from the city of Thyatira, which was in Asia. And you know what I find remarkable concerning this is that whenever you think of the fact that Lydia, that she was from Thyatira and from the continent of Asia, to realize that the Apostle Paul had desired to go to Asia and to preach the gospel there. And yet at the bidding of the Lord, he was directed not to go to Asia, but rather to go to Europe. And while he goes to Europe in the city of Philippi, his first convert is Lydia, who was from the continent of Asia, from the city of Thyatira. Such is the providence of God. The Lord is interested in ways to encourage us in our obedience to him. Lydia, we believe, was born into a family that was a stranger to Greece. Born into a family, a heathen family, a family steeped in the ways of idolatry. And it is thought that while that she was at Philippi, that she had come to meet some Jewish ladies. And as a result of their witness to her, she turned from her idolatry. And she became a proselyte to the Jewish faith, seeking to worship the one true God. And here, Sabbath by Sabbath, she takes herself away from the hustle and bustle of life to meet with others of the Jewish faith around the Word of God in their place of prayer by the riverside. Sabbath by Sabbath, she met with those who held dear to the Scriptures of the Old Testament. She met with those who read the Word of God and prayed. And you know, this is very commendable. But yet we realize that Lydia was not yet a possessor of eternal life. She had not yet found the pearl of great price. She had not yet found that which was of infinitely greater worth than all of the silver and gold in this world. Lydia's going to the prayer meeting by the riverside on the Sabbath day with the other ladies indicates that she had turned from the idolatry that was so prevalent around her. And you know why that did not save her? Yet I believe that it instructs us that whenever we walk in the light that the Lord gives to us, then that the Lord will give to us further light. And here secondly, not only do we have, as it were, the circumstances of her life, but we have here secondly the conversion of her soul. Lydia heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. There are two things that I would like to draw your attention to in relation to her conversion. And first of all, there is the fact that she needed to be saved. She needed to be saved. Lydia was a religious lady. She faithfully attended the prayer meetings on the Sabbath. But yet we realize she was not saved. We realize that although that Lydia had turned from the wickedness of her idolatry to the worship, as it were, of Jehovah, yet Lydia was still a stranger to grace. She did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, her Savior. It was not until she listened to the message that was proclaimed by the Apostle Paul, it was only then that she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And you see tonight, we're to realize that, as we reminded ourselves this morning in Romans 3 and 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there are many tonight, and my, whenever we look at their lives, we say, am I either so and so, am I either in the depths of sin? But on the other hand, there are those, and we would look upon them in society, and they're good and they're upright people. They're living an upright and clean life. But yet the Lord, whenever he looks down upon us, he says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yes, we know that those who are down in the depths of sin need God's salvation. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and in the verses 9 through 11, whenever the Apostle Paul says of those in the church of Corinth, he says, "Know ye that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." Well, you know what is amazing? Is what follows on in the verse to follow in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. Whenever the Apostle Paul says, "But such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God." And yes, those who are down in the depths of sin need God's salvation. And if there be one tonight in that category, you have to say you need God's salvation. And the Lord is able to redeem you and to make you a child of God. But then also we realize that salvation is needed by good people like Lydia. Salvation is needed by someone like Cornelius, who was a very devout man whom Peter won for the Lord. Salvation is needed by the eunuch who was so devout that we find him reading the scriptures whenever Philip the evangelist drew near to him. He was reading the scriptures. My friend, all of us need God's salvation. There's no exception. If we were to get into heaven by our good works, we'd have to live that completely sinless life, which is impossible because we have that old nature within. We're out of Christ. The wages of sin is death. Oh, Lydia needed conversion. She needed salvation. But then also let us consider the focus of her conversion. It is recorded for us that Lydia heard the message that Paul preached. And the subject of that message was Christ. The Christ that met with Paul on the Damascus Road. The Christ that changed his life. The Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about whenever he related to her the way of salvation. He had been that way himself. He knew the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one who changed the heart of the Apostle Paul. He was the one who changed the heart of Lydia. And the Lord Jesus Christ is able to change your heart. But here we realize that Lydia was one who listened to the message of the gospel. I wonder, as you said, under the message of the gospel tonight, do you really listen? Have you really listened to the message of the gospel in the past? Have you really understood what the Lord is saying to you in His Word? You know, it is possible to come to church and it is commendable. It is possible to sit under the ministry of God's Word and sit under the ministry of faithful preaching. But you know, we can sit and daydream whenever we're in church. We can sit and think upon other things. But Lydia didn't do that. Lydia listened intently to the message that the Apostle Paul had to preach. The message that was presented to her. And I pray that we will listen. Oh, there are many voices calling out for attention. We think of the newspapers of the day and we think of the television and radio and all of those voices that press in upon us. But will those voices bring us to Christ? Will those voices bring us to a knowledge of our sins forgiven? Will those voices bring us in the way that leads to eternal life? We're to find God's salvation. We need to listen to God's Word. We need to read the Scriptures. We need to seek the Lord until we find Him. And if we do seek Him, we will find Him. We're reminded in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The Word of God, hearing and faith. And we will not be saved if we don't listen. We will not be saved if we do not come seeking the Lord from His Word. But Paul here, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to her, he seeks to impart simple gospel truths. And here was a woman, although she was rich, she had to realize that spiritually speaking that she was poor. Here was a woman that in many ways could have been said to have being righteous. But yet she was to realize that all of her righteousnesses were as filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. He was a woman who had to realize that she was but a poor sinner who needed God's salvation. And here was someone realizing that she needed God's salvation, realized that it could only be found in Christ and in Christ alone. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so it is today. It is only Christ and Christ alone can save. It is only Christ and Christ alone who can give to you a new life. My friend, you may imagine that you have many needs. And people have many needs. But you know, the greatest need that we have is the forgiveness of sins. Sin is a disease of the heart that will cause eternal death. Oh, many have devised cures for all sorts of physical diseases. But you know, man has never been able to devise a cure for the cancer of sin. Years ago, there were some very unusual treatments for various ailments. John Wesley, a great Methodist preacher of a bygone era, recorded some of them in his journal. And he said, I tried to stop the violent bleeding from a cut by applying a briar leaf. Then he goes on to say, he says, but I found no change for the better. On another occasion, he says, I ordered some brimstone, that is sulphur, to be powdered, to be mixed with the white of an egg and spread on brown paper, which I then used as a poultice. But again, that was not too much of a. And you see, with the passing of time, the treatments for various physical conditions have changed. If you were to go to a doctor today, in all probability, the medication, whatever would be, that he would prescribe, would be different from if you had gone to a doctor, say, a couple of hundred years ago. There's been new advances in science, and new cures have been brought into being. But you know, whenever we come to God's prescription for sin, the remedy is still seen. You see, man is still seen. And there's only one way that the matter of her sin can be dealt with. And that is by the Lord Jesus Christ and by His work upon the cross at Calvary. It has been said that sin is a heart disease that can only be remedied by the great physician. There's only one person, there's only one way that the matter of her sin can be dealt with. And here Lydia, she listened to the message of the gospel. It affected her heart, it moved her heart. The Holy Spirit opened her understanding. You're reminded again in the book of Romans, chapter 10, that for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So Lydia's understanding was opened, her heart was opened. The Holy Spirit had worked upon her heart and became as a good ground that was well prepared for the seed of God's word. In a moment of time, her understanding was opened, her heart was changed. And we read that she heard us, and whose heart the Lord opened. You know, the opening of the heart was not Lydia's work. Not Lydia's work. The opening of the heart was the work of the Holy Spirit. It was the work of God. Matthew Henry has said, in this verse he said, note, conversion work is God's work. It is the Lord that works in us both to will and to do, not as if we had nothing to do, but of ourselves without God's grace we can do nothing. Nor as if God were in the least chargeable with the ruins of those that perish, but the salvation of those that are saved must be wholly ascribed to Him. The Lord is the author and the finisher of our faith. Salvation is of the Lord. But we know that the Lord reminds us in His word that no man can come unto the Father except the Father which has sent me draw him. We realize also that we have responsibility. We have responsibility to attend to the message of the gospel. We have a responsibility that whenever the Lord works upon our heart and opens our heart, that we will respond to that and come to Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. The work of God is done in the heart. Has the Lord been working in your heart? Has the Lord changed your heart? Because unless the Lord changes our heart, it will not be changed. If our heart be like stone, unless the Lord works upon our heart, it will remain a stone. But I pray that you have an earnest desire in your desire tonight to come and to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Because whenever the Lord works upon your heart, we remind in Ezekiel 36 and verse 26, the Lord promises, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. The Lord gives us a new heart, a heart that looks by faith to the work that was completed by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. Oh, Lydia heard the message of the gospel. She was brought face to face with the truth that we were not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold, but rather redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Thank the Lord tonight for the power of the precious blood. That blood is able to take your heart, which is black with sin, is able to wash it and make it white as snow. There's power in Jesus' blood. Lydia came to understand the message, and she accepted it without delay. Not only was her heart touched, but her heart was opened to receive Christ as her own and personal Savior. She put her trust in the finished work of the cross. And my friend, if you're to be saved tonight, you need to come the same way. Many here have trod that road. Many here have know what it is to have come to the cross, know what it is to have our sins forgiven. We rejoice tonight what the Lord has done for us, but we long that all who are here tonight would gather with us in the kingdom of heaven. We pray too that you will come to know the Lord as your own and personal Savior. But you know, the salvation that we have in Christ is but the beginning. And here it brings us to our final consideration tonight, the consideration of our new life. Look at the verse 15 of the chapter. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You see, whenever Lydia came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, we read here how that she invited the Apostle Paul and Silas and others with them to come and for them to abide in her house. She said to Paul, come home with us and we'll make room for you in my home and you can come and stay. Why did she do that? I believe that she desired to be further instructed in the things of God. She wanted to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only did she want to know more herself, I believe that she wanted the Apostle Paul and the others who were with him to explain the way of salvation to those in her family and to those of her servants and to those who were her friends in the Erie district where she lived. She wanted those in her own house to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her own and personal Savior. I believe that was very commendable. Something that we also should endeavor to do. And whenever I think of that, I think of C.T. Studd and C.T. Studd's father, whenever he was saved. Now, C.T. Studd's father, he had been a wealthy planter. He had lived for quite a time in India. And having retired, he moved back again to England. He had a large country house. And whenever C.T. Studd's father was saved, he was involved with racehorses and all of that sort of thing, and that was put to the one side whenever he came to know the Lord as a Savior. But in that country house there was a large room which was used to hold balls, or used for ballroom dancing and for events such as that. But whenever C.T. Studd's father could see it, the large room in the house, on the Lord's Day it was seated, hymn books were placed on the chairs, and all of the neighbours were invited to come into their home. And C.T. Studd's father, he had arranged for a preacher to come every Lord's Day to bring the message of the gospel to those who were gathered in his home. And that was something that was used of the Lord, and the Lord blessed that effort. And so too here, Lydia, she invited Paul and Silas to come to her home. And Lydia here, her concern was for her family, for those of the servants in her home, and for her friends and neighbours. And we know that the Lord blessed her because she did see the salvation of her family. And that's one of the greatest blessings that we all can have. And I pray tonight, if there's a member of the family circle here tonight who is not saved, I pray that you realise that there are those who desire for your salvation, those who are praying for you and long desire that you will come to give your life to Christ. But Lydia, here we read that she was baptized in her household. She made a public profession of her faith. She did not hide her faith, not something that she kept in secret. She made it known to those around her that she had come to Christ. She did not hide her light, as it were, under a bushel. She had a concern for the welfare of God's people. She was a woman who was busy with her business, but she was not too busy for God. Here was one, and she became a diligent worker in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. She sought to do all that she could. In the chapter that we have read together concerning Paul and Silas, we know that after this event, the conversion of Lydia, that as a result of the witness of Paul and Silas, that they were cast into prison. And you know the story of how that the Lord caused the earthquake and the gates of the prison were sprung open. And we know that the Philippian jailer, that he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. Remember, whenever he was about to take his own life, Paul cried out, "Do yourself no harm." The man cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And whenever Paul and Silas were released from prison, we know that at the end of the chapter we read that how that that they found solace again in the house of Lydia, chapter 16 and verse 40. And they went out of the prison, and they entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Oh, I pray tonight that you will consider the salvation of Lydia. Is salvation not something that you should desire? You know you need to be saved. You know that if ever you are to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've heard the message. You know that you need to come. You need to confess your sin. You need to seek the Lord to grant to you forgiveness of sin. But if you come tonight, confess in your sin, put in your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will redeem you. He will make you a new creature in Christ. He will give you a new life. He will transform your life. He will bless you with blessings above measure. The greatest of all blessings is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Oh, I pray that you'll consider Lydia, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I pray that tonight that your heart will be open to the message of the gospel, and that you too will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. In closing, let us turn to the hymn number 245. Hymn reminds us there is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. And then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed on the tree. If the Lord has placed a desire in your heart tonight that you would have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray not quench that spirit, not quench the Spirit of God, but rather tonight that you'll come and that you'll earnestly seek and find Christ. May the Lord grant it to you. Let us stand to sing our closing hymn, please. Father in heaven, we do pray that there might be many whose hearts tonight are open to the message of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that those whose hearts are open, that they will give attendance, O Lord, to thy truth, attendance to thy word. Thou dost remind us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, Lord, this evening we pray that those of our friends who may be out of Christ tonight, we pray, Lord, that truly that they will look to thee, that they will seek thee with all their heart, and that this night that they might come to be possessors of eternal life, they might come to know the joy of having their sins forgiven. And we pray that they too will start on their way to the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, we thank thee for every blessing of this day. We thank the Lord for these times that we have spent in thy house around thy word. And we pray, Lord, truly that thy word, which is that living word, that it will live on in our hearts. And so now, Lord, we pray that for thy blessing to be upon all who are gathered in thy house tonight. And we do pray that now that you'll part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, we pray that you'll give journeying mercies, take us to our homes in safety, and we pray that your hand will be upon us. And so now we pray that you'll part us with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake.